Good evening. Last week we continued to look at the suffering nature of psychic existence. And we looked at the first, so suffering can be divided in different ways, and we have come to the eightfold division. And we looked at the first last week, that suffering of birth. So in brief, all the suffering that ordinary sentient beings experience comes about due to uncontrolled rebirth in samsara due to contaminated karma accumulated by our afflicted minds. The state of liberation is a state where one is liberated from samsara, where one is liberated from the state of uncontrolled rebirth, but rather takes rebirth, but due to pure karma and prayer. In order to attain liberation, one has to have the strong wish to achieve it. To transform one's way of thinking takes tremendous effort, and to put in the required effort over a sustained period, one has to give rise to a powerful motivation to attain liberation from cyclic existence. So in order to give rise to such a transformative wish, to strive for liberation, so that every single thought, and thereby every action and speech, physical action and speech, is geared geared towards the achievement of liberation from suffering, such a powerful motivation only comes about through deep reflection on the suffering nature of psychic existence, coming to see how suffering pervades psychic existence, and that there is nothing worth longing for that remains within samsara, nothing worth striving for that remains bound in psychic existence. Hence, we are in the part of the presentation where we look at the sufferings of samsara, look at the faults of samsara.
Leda, Yomo, Beram, Yabachi, Kiwalem, Batella, and the Kova Kiwalem, Basigur, what the Kova said, Disigur, Chizanda, and the Leda, Yomo, Wonga, Ram, Yabada, and the Yawa Ida, Tundrikina, Tangadin, and your acidic, Kibu Chumil, I'm using by Shivy, Kalashia Sarvada. Then the Leda, Yomo, Wonga, and Nasol Major, the Milikiwana, and Gariores, and Milikiwana, Milia, and Nasol. Nike Rush on the Tabena, and the Niki Ki on the Gabena, and Ami Engani and Nizam Jaduka, and the Susukanga Yores and Nedadi Kissing, the Kiwi to Hadishadi, Leda Yumo won't get to Skiwa Limbina, and Ming Alan Nizam Char, Maki, the Niki Ming Alan Navy Gabla to Susukanga Yores and Kissing Diko Shusarada.
Give rise to this burning wish to be freed from pain and misery. One has to understand the system by which we suffer, and that, in brief, is this uncontrolled, this process, this wheel of uncontrolled rebirth in the suffering realms of samsara, that comes about due to the contaminated karma that we ourselves have accumulated due to our own afflicted minds. This is samsara, this uncontrolled rebirth within this realm of suffering. And liberation or nirvana or freedom is the state where one is freed from such uncontrolled rebirth. And as was just mentioned, in order to give rise to this burning desire to attain freedom, one has to look at the faults of cyclic existence. So we started this process last year, in February, when we looked at the faults of the sufferings of the lower realms, and that was in the context of the trainings that are common with a practitioner of initial capacity. Now we have crossed over into the trainings that are common with a practitioner of intermediate capacity. So here we look at the sufferings, not of the lower realms that we've already looked at, but of the upper realms, uncontrolled rebirth in the human or God realms. So when one takes rebirth, there's one of four ways that one takes rebirth. And here in the human context, we look at rebirth from a womb. And this, again, to be clear, is rebirth where one does so in an uncontrolled way, without freedom, without one's own intent, in other words, through the power of pure karma and prayer, but rather in a way that lacks freedom. Tonight then we'll continue still on page 28. When we come now, we'll start to look at the second of the eight sufferings. After one takes uncontrolled rebirth in cyclic existence is the first, and immediately the process of aging starts. And that is then the second of the eight sufferings, the suffering of aging. When one hears about the sufferings of aging, this immediately we have some understanding of. So we have an understanding of the coarser levels, the rough levels of the suffering of aging. But the subtler levels, this is what we also need to investigate. Again, I read the whole second paragraph on page 28. The baby gradually grows into a youth, and soon he is old. His back bends like a bow, his hair turns white as a dried flower, and his forehead fills with wrinkles until he looks like a strip of sliced leather. Sitting down is like dropping a heavy load, and standing up is like uprooting a tree. If he tries to speak, his tongue will not obey, and if he tries to walk, he staggers. His sensory powers, such as sight and hearing, begin to fail him. His body loses its luster and resembles a corpse. His memory degenerates and he can remember nothing. The powers of digestion fail and he can no longer eat properly, no matter how much he craves food. At this point, his life is almost finished and death is rapidly approaching. Such are the sufferings of aging.
Rimbe keba ni shudar ku siti ngaz ku chun chun ya ami ke sar ji la ta su bu ti che 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 ru gor wa ta che che ro ne ni yu wa ru gor wa che che rim ba che ne ni gan go cha de ni ma keba de ge ma ku ku cha jin gan go du che go de ni du che ne yu wa ru gor si hi gor wa da da ji so ani ji wi ke ka sa ga wi du ma sia de ye so da
Let's look at this passage together. Starting at the top, the baby gradually grows into youth and soon he is old. So the process of birth comes about really with conception, birth into the womb. And this is later followed by birth from the womb. But birth really is at the point of conception, when one is born into one's mother's body. And aging, the process of aging, happens immediately, from the very next moment. So aging, in our context here, isn't just how we usually use the term, but it refers to from the moment of conception, or from birth in a womb, one starts to age. And that happens, of course, as it says here, in the Tibetan anyway, it says it happens immediately and continues from birth from the womb, and then aging continues from then.
That is the Kayu Duma Ganesh Chagre, the Duma in the Nanganzuke, Shin Digene, Ma, Dampon Chunju, Yaki, Yaya, Chesha, Yachimbocha, and Shin Gugu Chanigma. And come to my child, Ungor was Ungor was Shinla, Sishin Chatan, and Jelko, Shinle Duma Yoribes, said the answer is Samna, then of course he watches that Milia, the nigger, I make yes, and the Yachesha, Gangwacha, Dusku, Charovena, did Duma de Laguna, and the Shindig Yachunjun Yachesha, Chan, Yachimbo Chadin, Loma de Gamaku Chadin, Campoche Maku, she read you at in Ungduas, and the Shinle Duma Yoribes, then and Mida Chiba Chagdua said.
Some may hear, but this is just sounds like a description of the natural process. And it happens throughout nature. So, for example, a seed will sprout and grow into a plant, and that plant will grow, and then it will wither and eventually die. So if the natural world, the botanical world goes through such a process, as does that of sentient beings, then couldn't it be said then that plants must also suffer as well?
Rawa meba leda nyumo ngi nyema gi digi pemba nyuba kane jyoba di samgi mato dwe tuku me wale tene gyuwa rugu yoba ta ane gyuwe dunga se achi jikshi gori dunga si gorwa su chawa di dunga dunga lu gyuwa rwa achi gorwa di gyuwe dunga le lu gyuwa rwa achi lu pende ame chungchung jiri ya chersersa lu chersersa ne jik chaya achi gorwa di lu gyuwa rugu gorwa di gyuwe dunga si gorwa Da di nyom do chowa semle ya kanga da jik kanga ma dunga ma buche se chowa dunga kye che di dunga su che kiro wa.
Certainly there is great similarity in the process between plants and sentient beings, in that there is this process of that we can call birth and growth, and then aging and death. So there is that similarity, but of course plants do not suffer, they don't have consciousness. But humans, or sentient beings, so in this context we're looking at humans, from the process of birth, then due to a momentary change, there is the process of growth and decline. So this happens naturally. It happens involuntarily. It's not something that is willed or needs to be willed. It's something that happens naturally. Moreover, as one grows and ages, then one starts quite quickly to experience more and more physical illnesses, and linking to physical illnesses, one also experiences mental suffering. So in dependence on the physical suffering coming from illness through this process of aging, then one also suffers mentally. So there's this process of bodily change which impacts on our mental state as well. So this is something that happens involuntarily. So the process of bodily change, if we now think back to a couple of weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, when we looked at the threefold division of suffering. Now we're in the eightfold division. When suffering in its entirety was divided into three, we had the suffering of physical and mental pain, the suffering of transient happiness, and all-pervasive suffering. So how does this process of growth and aging, how does that then fit into the threefold division? Well, the process of momentary change, which is this process of aging, this would actually fall into the suffering of transient happiness. But when one experiences a core suffering, therefore feelings of suffering, when one experiences core suffering and feelings of suffering due to the momentary change, which is of the body, which is the process of aging, the suffering of aging, then that is the first of that threefold division, the suffering of physical and mental pain. So when we are experiencing the feeling of suffering due to the aging process, that is the first of the threefold division, the suffering of physical and mental pain. But the mere aging process, so there one isn't experiencing the feeling or the sensation of suffering, then that would fall under the category of the suffering of transient happiness.
Lela Actually,
I need to correct what I've just said here. So the process, so when we divide the suffering of aging, which can be understood on the subtler level as the momentary changing of the body that one is born into, that, when we divide it into the threefold division of suffering, is not the suffering of transient pleasure, because the suffering of transient pleasure is the experience of pleasant sensations, or the feeling of happiness, of worldly happiness. Rather, this is the third type of suffering, all-pervasive suffering, because this is the basis upon which the other two sufferings are experienced. So the suffering of aging, it comes about due to our karma, and it, therefore we momentarily change in a way without freedom, and this then is the basis of suffering, all-pervasive suffering. Then, so that's to correct what I just said, and now to link it to a previous segment. This all-pervasive, this karma that leads to the momentary change that we experience with our body, this is something we actually share with the natural kingdom, with the flora, because plants grow and eventually wither and die due to karma. And that karma isn't something that the plants themselves created. Rather, it's a common karma. It's karma that the beings in that world have created themselves, and that is manifests in the or leads to that leads to their being flora, leads to this physical world existing. So that this physical world, such as flora, exists is due to the karma created by beings in the world, and that is the karma that those beings have created in common. So there is that relationship between the flora in the world and the beings in the world. But flora doesn't experience suffering. Rather, it does come about, though, due to the common karma created by sentient beings. And then just to repeat again, that this process of aging, the suffering of aging, when it's placed within the one of the threefold division of suffering, it's in the third one, that of all pervasive suffering. Whilst this process of aging then begins immediately after birth, when the degree to which the decline in one's health comes, here there's tremendous variety, of course, amongst beings. Whether one's the decline in one's health comes about quickly or only much later in life is dependent on one's own individual karma. But nevertheless, this decline in health, whenever it comes, is due to one's karma. But why there is such variety that some may be healthy throughout their lives or healthy for long periods before ill health strikes, others very young experience untold suffering due to ill health. The reason for that variety is due to one's own individual karma. Looking at the text here, his back bends like a bow, his hair turns white as a dried flower. So these results that follow from aging, as was just said, this will, when it comes about, will vary between people. And also, with some of the sufferings mentioned here, whether they are experienced as sufferings or not, is certainly not fixed, it's not definite. It depends on a number of causes whether some of these are experienced as suffering or not. So the text, of course, it was written centuries ago in Tibet for a Tibetan audience at that time. So there'll be cultures in the world today, for sure, that where gray hair does lead to suffering within people. And there'll be other cultures where gray hair is seen in a very different way and therefore is experienced very differently. So when we see illustrations like this, we need to understand that it was composed in a particular context, and whether something is experienced as a suffering or not depends on a variety of causes, such as a variety of factors, such as the cultural context. And the sentence continues, and his forehead fills with wrinkles until he looks like a strip of sliced leather. So the end of the sentence should be translated slightly differently, compared to where the forehead looks like the bark of a tree. So that's to keep with the composer's idea of the analogy with the natural world, with the world of fauna. So here, what we see is that this natural process of aging, which is, and from the context of the types of suffering, is part of all pervasive suffering, or falls under all pervasive suffering. It's what happens when one has these contaminated aggregates that have come about in an uncontrolled manner. They naturally decline moment by moment, and therefore this is a natural process. But whether one experiences the feeling of suffering or an unpleasant sensation due to having wrinkles is, again, it's not certain. It depends on a number of factors such as the individual or the culture and so forth. So some certainly will experience tremendous anguish as they age and as seeing their face in the mirror with ever more wrinkles. And they will then experience unpleasant sensations or the suffering feelings. And that then in the threefold division of suffering is the suffering of physical and mental pain, the first division. Whereas having this body, and it's thereby it goes through this natural aging process, is the third type of suffering, that of all-pervasive conditioning. Because this is the basis upon which the first two types of suffering arise.
Tene ya chi duwa pangla bdi shaa duwa chi san chi shaa wa sa suru chung 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 ch paradilia and sagaru mangu thwa yores chizan pego gan yenyen ma dinaji yungu yores kengo chas di pel ja sherwa chizan bo diwa ne di sing sha ju di par sagaru tongba chi mangu lerwa tan ga diwa mi tuja da chala ya go chebe de ve de ine de de din ne thwa do wa din di pero ti cha cha ne mo pego ba pe cha sherwa.
Another way we can understand the end of the sentence, or another analogy that can be used, so we have it as becomes wrinkled like as strips of sliced leather. So another way we can think of it is if something's created with is woodwork that's created with traditional machinery, the woodwork is quite a lot rougher than what we see in our modern world with modern tools. Traditionally made furniture. Often the woodwork is much coarser, and you don't have the planks or the parts of the object sitting together so well, but there are gaps and there's some gnarls and the like. So the finished product is quite rough, quite coarse. And that is how we end up, our faces end up, our bodies end up as we age. So perhaps when we're younger, we much more like the floor we have in our modern world, like this gompa here with the planks of wood fit together seamlessly. But then when we age, we end up more like traditional carpentry, where there's far more gaps between the wood and there's splinters, and it's not nearly as smooth, but now much rougher to feel.
Kāpa chāngālē tīnī sēmīlīyā, āndi tsōhā tī mākāwā līyā tū tīnī jīk jūyā chā nākū sūyā, jūyā jūyā chā nākū sūyūgōrā, nākū sūyūgōrā, tīnī kī sūyūgōrā, tīnā shīndā pēkōl pā tīnī nērmā mōgō yudō, o tī yākū mīnū sāmchī, nā tīlīyā mākāwā jīyā tīnī nērmā tī
From our own experiences, that for many people, when they see this process of change, it causes unhappiness within them. Hence, hair may be dyed, and woodwork that looks old may be repaired, and that is because of the unhappiness that comes about and the desire for happiness.
That may be here. Nge thakwa chepa tabu usende. Na maa dhudu kapla pina yane ngandu ki chala rus masan tabu ya da xe wane thakwa maa chepa yane maa samwan sada doxin maa sayangurwa, doxin maa sayangurwa. An di nanshi gango chada maa dhudu kapla, dan ngandu shunshin nika maa dhudu kapla hulayash dhuya dan ya lang dhuka kuduka lamsang lang tuya yungurwa. Dan gango chada dhu, an maa dhudu kapla din maa dhudu lamsang.
The third sentence is something that those of us who are older will know very well as well. Those who are young, well, that still awaits you. sitting down is like dropping a heavy load. And this, as one ages, one really sees that this is the case. Likewise, with the rest of the sentence, standing up is like uprooting a tree. And if you think of a tree with an elaborate system of roots, it takes a lot of effort to pull it out of the ground. And when one ages, standing up also requires such effort. If he tries to speak, his tongue will not obey. And this then refers to the decline further in the body, where when one tries to speak, then one ends up stuttering, struggling to get the words out of oneself because of one's decline. Moreover, as we see here, if he tries to walk, he staggers. And this too, when one has aged, one sees, one knows that one has to be very careful when one walks, because one is not steady like one was before. When one was younger, one could bound around. But these days, even just watching that is tiring. And so one has to move with great care. Getting up is difficult, sitting down is difficult, moving is also difficult.
And
the fifth sentence then is about the decline in one's sense powers. His sense powers, such as sight and hearing, begin to fail him. And furthermore, his body loses its luster. This then refers to that one's complexion. Again, is that now of an aged person, not of a youth anymore. His memory degenerates and he can remember nothing. So this then refers to the cognitive decline as one ages. The powers of digestion fail, and he can no longer eat properly, no matter how much he craves food. This then refers to another example of the great change that one experiences when one ages. Before, one could eat what one wanted and as much as one wanted, and the difficulty that may or may not follow could easily be overcome. But as one ages, one has to be so much more careful. One can no longer eat whatever one wants or as much as one wants.
And
At this point, his life is almost finished and death is rapidly approaching. So this point then, this too then, compounds the suffering that one experiences. The validity, the truth of this presentation is something that whether one has personally experienced it or not in this life, one certainly has seen it. So we know there is truth in this. And this is the situation for us ordinary beings who have taken birth without any control, birth that was propelled due to the contaminated karma that we ourselves accumulated due to our afflicted minds, this uncontrolled rebirth, which is the process of cyclic existence. But those who've attained liberation from the system of cyclic existence, who obtained freedom from it, they will never take rebirth in such a way again. They may well be born amongst humans or amongst gods, but that will not be uncontrolled. It will not be due to contaminated karma and afflictions. Rather, it will be due to their pure karma that they have accumulated together with their prayers. So such a being then, whether born amongst humans or in the God realm, what they will have in common with the body of the ordinary samsaric beings around them is that their body will change momentarily too. It's impermanent and it will also change momentarily. But that's what they have in common. What is different is vast. Their body won't decline. It won't degenerate. It will change momentarily, but it will not degenerate and decline like that of ordinary beings. So therefore, they will not go through any suffering. They have attained liberation from suffering. So they will not experience suffering such as we've seen here, of previously of birth and now of aging. So these problems that we have as humans, where we suffer due to aging, and all the ways as presented here, we lose our energy, which is meant here by this term luster. We not just our complexion, but we lose energy as we age. We no longer have the vitality that we had when we were younger. We struggle to get up, we sit down, and we then struggle to get up. We have to move with care. We have to pay great attention to our diet. because we are vulnerable, vulnerable in a way that we weren't before. But this is not, this current state that we are in, is the state of sentient beings. It's not the state of those who have attained liberation from samsara. It's not the state for those who take rebirth due to pure karma and prayer. The situation then for us as humans, but it's really for it will also be a similar, but not quite the same, but a similar situation for those born as gods, is that as long as one is a being bound within samsara, in other words, a being who continues to take uncontrolled rebirth, one will continue to have this basis of suffering, that third type of suffering, all pervasive suffering, which is these contaminated aggregates. And therefore, we experience at the moment of birth, that's the suffering of birth. And of course, it's not only us that suffer, but parts of the pregnancy and at birth as well, our mother suffers greatly too. And then we also not only go through the various sufferings that we looked at last time of birth, but now also what we're seeing here in terms of aging, the wide variety of sufferings of aging. And this relate to both the physical, as is described here in the text, but also the other sufferings that we experience as we go through our education and we go through our work. We experience all kinds of problems throughout our life. This is the situation for samsaric beings who are trapped in the realms of cyclic existence, trapped in this prison of samsara. For those, though, who are liberated from this prison, who have attained a state of lasting, stable happiness, who no longer take uncontrolled rebirth, but only take rebirth due to pure karma and their prayers, their situation It's completely different. They aren't born from, in our case, from a womb, but they take spontaneous rebirth, and they are born not as an infant like we are, but as a youth, as the body of a young, how we would relate to as the body of a young person. Their body is in the prime of youth. So they have a body like that, and whilst it is impermanent and momentarily changes, it doesn't decline, it doesn't degenerate. And being liberated, they experience no suffering. There is no suffering of aging. There is no illness to be experienced. So when we know the situation we have, at least on a course level, and we hear about another possibility, it's very clear which is desirable. We all desire a state freed of pain, a state of lasting, stable happiness. So what is the cause of the one, and what is the cause that has been eliminated that leads thereby to the other type of rebirth? It's these afflicted minds, these destructive emotions, that lead to us accumulating contaminated karma and lead us to take uncontrolled rebirth in samsara, whether our rebirth is propelled by a negative karma and we fall into the suffering lower realms, or our rebirth is propelled by virtuous karma and we take rebirth in the upper realms. We remain trapped in cyclic existence because that propelling karma was accumulated together with afflictions, and therefore it is contaminated, and we continue to have these contaminated aggregates, the basis of suffering. But when we manage to completely eradicate the afflictions, completely eradicate them, we then accumulate pure karma, karma that is not, or action, karma or action, that is not infused with afflictions, but is freed of the presence of afflictions, and is thereby pure. Then rebirth is no longer uncontrolled, but comes about due to the power of prayer and pure karma. That is how one achieves rebirth, free of suffering.
Oh, dine za da nga zo ge le da nyu mo ong ge che wa lin yo du nga zo lu ti pa ya ga chin du 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 pa du ju wa re dine ju wa re yo ba chi che an di ma se nga zo ge kho yu ge sa che da xin da ji xin da de sui na ya che che nga zo gen go cha na ne kon zui na gen go che pa yin ba ma di ni cho la zo mia ba cha an de ji sa che Barbuta, Dinigi, Sosugi, Sosugi, Sunamji, Leda, Jibu, Tony, Sosu Nessa, Sati, you call you the Yungore, Sisan Kashi, Josepe, Chick, such a call you Zamba Yabu, Chicky, Yuada, and it do a boo, Nusichi, Samson, Dubuchan, Abu Dubu, Dinigi, Major, Dushin, that in a major game, Chickmongo, Kashi, Amigashi, Josalia, such a barbo, and Chicky, Serma Mongo, and it's Samson. 你有些些个忙不约定的你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你给你 Yahoo,
those beings like ourselves, we suffer in this way, born due to our contaminated karma. And it's a completely different situation for those who take rebirth due to pure karma. And as we heard earlier, our environment and also the way we experience our environment, our environment is due to our common karma, karma that's common, that's shared between ourselves and others, common karma. And this leads to the environment that we live in, that we have lived in throughout our lives. This is what's led to the creation of our world and this world that we experience and the in particular environments that we have dwelled throughout our life. And it's due to the karma of beings in a place that they experience that particular, that they have such a place. So some people live somewhere of great beauty. Others live somewhere that really, the environment is truly harsh. It's difficult to eke an existence there. And also they are in the environment, there can be either a lot or very few obstacles. So some places there are a lot of, for example, mosquito-borne diseases, and other places there are none. Other places have a lot of annoying insects, others have none. Some places have there is grave danger from other people, in others there are none. People largely live in harmony together. So this variation within psychic existence also comes about due to karma that beings have created. Those who've achieved liberation, not only do they have a body that doesn't suffer, but the environment that they live in is also completely different. It's because the karma there that has led to the creation of the environment is pure. So everything that surrounds these beings is pleasing. Their flowers, their beautiful natural environments, but these don't wither and die. They don't degenerate like our environment does. Everything that surrounds them, this too is beautiful and doesn't fade away, but is also lasting in terms of it doesn't wither and die. To further emphasize the importance to tame our minds, to transform our minds, and thereby transform the karma that we create, just take a moment to recall the great disparity that exists in our world. Our world is, of course, populated by many humans. So that all these humans who are ordinary samsaric beings, in some senses, you could say our situation is identical in that we have all taken uncontrolled rebirth. So all ordinary human beings here have taken uncontrolled rebirth in samsara and suffer in these ways that have been presented here. And all have taken rebirth due to a virtuous karma that is nevertheless contaminated and thereby led to rebirth as a human. But what is the environment that beings are born into? Here we can see what great variety there is. Australia, when compared to other countries, is vastly different. People who live here have vastly different experiences, or the potential for vastly different experiences from what others have to endure in this world. And we know this from what we observe, whether on the news or if we've traveled. When we see how others live and what they must endure, we don't want to swap with many people who are in these situations. And moreover, when we think not just of the natural environment, but the other influences on them, such as their governmental system. So here we live in a country where our government takes responsibility for the welfare of their population, cares for their population. Our government ensures that our environment is clean and it's safe. But this isn't the case in many places in this world. In many places, those in authority exploit those beneath them. They take advantage, they abuse people. So this tremendous variety in the world comes about due to karma. And beings are born in the place that is in accordance with their karma that is ripening. So people who are in these, who are born and living in these harsh environments, in these environments where the suffering is really manifest, or where the suffering is quite extreme, we could say, this is due to their experiencing far greater levels of negative karma, non-virtuous karma, ripening. And thereby they are in such a difficult situation, especially when compared to those who are born in or who now live in a country such as ours. So this point needs to be reflected on, because we and others find ourselves in the situation that we are in due to the karma that we have accumulated, which comes about independent on the motivating minds, how afflicted they are or not. We come then to the third of the eightfold presentation of suffering, that of illness. So reading the last two paragraphs on page 28, which really should be edited to being one. As well as the sufferings of birth and age, throughout life he must continually confront the sufferings of illness. When the elements of his body fall out of harmony, his skin dries and his flesh sags. Food and drink, usually so appealing, seem repulsive. And instead he must ingest bitter medicines and undergo unpleasant treatments like operation, moxibustion, acupuncture, and so forth. Should the disease be incurable, he experiences immeasurable suffering from fear, worry, and apprehension. And if the disease is fatal, he lives with death in front of his eyes.
And then,
When the elements of his body fall out of harmony, the body matters comprised of various elements, and when they're not in harmony, then illness follows. So perhaps in a modern medical sense, we talk about the cells not being in harmony, and then illness follows. So the presentation here is similar. And then also as part of the as of this process, illness comes, one's skin dries, flesh sags.
Ine zadon yidon wa nam ne la po to ne po do pang gwe se de jang zu sae dun ye xin bu ru chi ne nyu ge na de di man nyu ge da zai me se pa sae ge jue wei ne pa ji ge ma sa ji pang gu du wa ji sa zadon yidon wa ji xin bu ru chi ne ne be ne de ni ge xin bu ye be ne de na zi le po ge be ne be ne jin ne na zai yo da jang a mo ji xin bu ye ne ji jang a mo ma tong xia da da dun de nyu ge xia da yang ji ge जिके जो मां शख्सों ये ना अन्य का सोरे दे दिन के साये जिके शिम्बु दिके साये ना और दे जिके एक ता दिन शिम्बु दिके ने साये जो है ना अन्य का नागर नागर नाचले न्यू दुसन पापांग वाले ने के जैसा साये तो ये शिम्बु का जो ना सुपुल या न्यू दुसन को जिके जो है ना या जे मासाज
With the next sentence, I'm just going to change the translation of the first half of the sentence. So what we have in our book is food and drink. I'll just change that a little. Particular appealing food and drink needs to be abandoned as they now lead to illness. Instead, he must ingest bitter medicines and undergo unpleasant treatments like operations, moxibustion, acupuncture, and so forth. This first part, certainly those of us who are diabetics, we know very well. Particularly appealing food and drink needs to be abandoned as they now lead to illness. So as a diabetic, I can no longer drink sweet tea like I have my whole life, because for me, the sugar is now poses a great danger. And this, anyone who has the illness of diabetes knows this. One has to be very careful about what one eats. One cannot eat white rice or potatoes or foods that perhaps one liked before. And certainly if one had a sweet tooth and enjoyed chocolate and cake, no longer. And this can have quite an impact on one's happiness. And this all comes about due to illnesses that one encounters. One no longer can enjoy and take pleasure in things that before were so desirable. And the sentence continues, instead he must ingest bitter medicines. And so this then, not only due to illness are there certain food types that we enjoy that we have to avoid, but then there are medicines that don't taste so pleasant, that are all food types that we don't like, but now we need to eat for our health. We have to do this. So we abandon what we previously enjoyed and now have to engage in things that we'd really rather not. So this all comes about from the suffering of illness.
Tarse so ki chi tu won nam ting ge si de tarse de ma ju su pun na ze yu na ji na ze de tai ton de me ju chi de din ye tu chi di wa ba cha twen ge ya da din ge tar so ma cha de ya dang an de ya ji me ja ya da din ge ro dang ge ya da cha gu ra se ba se din ge cha ge ya da an ji da ji ge ya su bu de tu xia shi xie hua da cha gu ro ji zong ne Java Zuburva, Zubole, Chigi, Dinigi, Chis and Nazi Chayagi, Tondala, Chidang, Nomine, Zubole, Masu, Chatuna, Dhomerva, and Jimmy Tobrach and Nazi Ungurva, Chisada, Diso, and then me Nazi Chayagi, Tondala, and Dhomer, and Chihurva.
Not only do we need to take unpleasant medicine, but we also need to endure medical procedures that we'd much rather not. And the text sets out operations, moxibustion and acupuncture. People tend not to choose these when they're in good health. They only undergo such treatments when they have to. So, moxibustion, for those who haven't seen it, it's I think it's often called cupping, where hot glass objects, glass balls are placed on the body, and that is meant to pull out illness or extract illness from the body. And of course, acupuncture and operations. So these unwanted procedures one is forced to endure due to illness.
だ、で、その、次の業界チンバインザ、あの、ジム社所地でにげたでもね、社なぜだって言うんばるか、ビルメンジャブチェルハコが、そうはめばそうしゃがるわ。じゃ、にまではね、ぶるではね、で、自動監督カプツでビルメンメロは、すぐ採るわ。あの、メジャブで採るわ。で、ね、考えてるんで、なぜだよ、どんだらでちゅうごるわ。ちゅうごるわ。で、ね、キャバ少々。でね、だてとはね、みそはどうね、 류바도메바안둥어뇽고바니
Hearing what's presented here, we should hear it with a broader understanding, based certainly on our own individual experiences, but also what we observe elsewhere in the world, and what we know about how things were in ancient times. So surgery for us here in our modern world, whilst unwanted, is not always such a big deal. But certainly in ancient times, when there was no such thing as anesthetic, and surgical procedures were very rough, to say the least, surgery certainly was something to be gravely feared. Also in other parts of the world today, where the medical situation is not what we have here, the experiences there are far, far more frightening. So we need to understand, relate to the illustrations that are presented here in a broader way, bearing in mind both history as well as what other people's lived experiences. And furthermore, the text continues, should the disease be incurable, he experiences immeasurable suffering from fear, worry, and apprehension. And if the disease is fatal, he lives with death in front of his eyes.
And When we
reflect on these sufferings, again, I encourage you to reflect on it in a very broad way, especially if you personally haven't experienced much in terms of either aging or the sufferings of aging or sickness. But certainly in the world, there are many beings right now who are experiencing tremendous fear at having received a terminal diagnosis, or being in a situation of tremendous pain, or if they're impoverishment and they cannot afford medication they require, or their country is experiencing tremendous difficulties and they can no longer access imported medication. So there are a wide variety of situations in the world, largely which are quite obscure to our own lived experience here. So we need to approach these sufferings in a broader way. And of course, just watching the news every day, the sufferings of illness is presented abundantly clearly to us. for especially when we see what those who are suffering from the pandemic and those who are experiencing that illness, the great pain and difficulty they experience and the fear they must endure when they struggle to breathe and so forth. So we need to, whilst on a superficial level, we read this and we nod and we agree it's like that and on we go. But we need to reflect on it in a more expansive manner than that. A further way to approach this is that the text presents the suffering of illness very much in terms of when the elements or the cells are not in harmony, that's when suffering follows, illness follows rather. And that's true, and that is how one a sickness comes about, and we experience suffering, in particular physical suffering, so suffering that comes about from with the basis of the body. But how one experiences that physical suffering, in other words, our mental suffering, here too there's tremendous variety amongst beings. And this is the area where we should strive to also gain control. Not we need to take care of our body, but in particular, we need to look after our mental state. Because how different, there's tremendous variety in terms of how beings experience the same physical suffering. For some, or perhaps for many, they will have a tremendous amount of discursive thought, worry and over-conceptualization will follow to an extent of great exaggeration, an extent beyond what serves any purpose and only actually serves to make their mental suffering intense. So not only are they experiencing suffering arising from their physical basis, but they're also experiencing mental suffering due to the habitual way of dealing with problems and difficulties. So and most people perhaps, or certainly many people, experience a suffering in this way. And this just exacerbates their anguish, exacerbates their physical and mental pain. So here we need to take control, not just take care of our bodies, but we need to develop control of our mind, subdue our mind, tame our mind. Because how we relate to physical suffering can transform how we experience it. And the easier points to approach this, especially when good health, we train in this way, so that we have a stronger basis for when we are ill, is that understand that why has this happened to me? It's not a question we even need to ask. It has come about in dependence on causes and conditions. It's karma that we have created. So we don't need to take this personally. We don't need to berate ourselves. We don't need to think about why me. We understand that this has come from karma we have created. And secondly, we think that we are not alone. We are not unique. We are not special in our suffering. There are uncountable beings who are suffering in this exact same way. And many more who are suffering far more So the purpose of thinking in this, in these two ways, is to try and lift our awareness, to try and not be too narrow-minded, focusing on our unfortunate situation, but to try and lift up our awareness, being aware that this is negative karma that is we have accumulated, and is now being experienced and exhausted. We are not alone in this. Many others are suffering now too. And if we are able to lift our mind up like that, then we have the basis to engage in the supremely effective method of taking and giving, the taking and giving meditation, where we engage in this practice that is done by so many bodhisattvas, where they engage in the process of taking on the suffering of others and giving happiness to others. And so in brief, they understand that their suffering has come about due to the ripening of negative karma they have accumulated and is being exhausted. And through the exhaustion of their negative karma, may all other beings' negative karma be exhausted in their suffering experience. And in this way, may no being ever have to suffer in the way that they are suffering. May they take on the suffering of others. And through their experience of this negative karma, may no other being have to experience similar suffering. Through generating compassion like this, huge stores of virtue are created, and this then is offered to others. And this is offered to others so that others may create the causes to experience lasting, stable happiness. And if one is able to engage in this meditation, then one's mental state is greatly uplifted. It's joyous, it's light, one's mind is broad and expansive, one is not overcome by one's own suffering, one's not dominated by self-concern, but is rather focused on the situation of others. So this is a much more skillful way to deal with situations which are likely to follow for us.
Dandala, Karjin Shivarela, Dini Yoya di Legu, Leda, Yumo, Ongikiwa Lembayanza, Diniki Dumadiki Ungori, SH. Tisanta, Diniki Dumadi Mayaya Ging, Hansu get Tapshi Karchevore Lana, Tisanta, Dele Taya, Taya get Tapshevore, Taya Tapshi Chevota, Dele Taya di Leda, Yumo, Bangbi, Bamba Tarpa said the Toku Quarries. Tisan di Toku, Sambigi, di Toba, Tomia, Toba, Dunir, Dumbadi.
To summarize the class we've had tonight, we've come to we looked at the second and third of the eight sufferings. So these all come about, the sufferings that we've looked at thus far, of birth, aging, and sickness. But all of these sufferings, they come about due to the contaminated karma that we ourselves have accumulated under the influence of our own afflicted minds. So this is a key point, to recognize that we have created the situation that we are in, both the wanted and the unwanted. Because that recognition will lead to strength of mind. No matter what situation we are in, no matter how undesirable it may be, if we realize that we have great capacity, that we have the possibility to completely transform not only how we experience things now, but completely transform our entire environment, our very body, this will give us confidence and strength of mind. And how to completely transform our environment, our body, our way of thinking, that is to bring cyclic existence to a complete end. To bring our own individual samsara to a complete end, to a cessation, to attain liberation from the suffering state, to cease the suffering state. The purpose of looking at this topic, so we're in the fifth class on this topic, is to go through each of these points repeatedly over a sustained period, reflecting on the nature of cyclic existence, reflecting on the suffering nature of cyclic existence, so as to give rise to an ever more powerful wish to be freed from this. So we come to see that there's no happiness worthy of striving for, no situation worthy of striving for as long as it remains bound within samsara. So this is the key point of these meditations on suffering, so as to give rise to this determination to strive for liberation. And that determination then is experienced as, no matter what we are physically doing or we're saying, or if we just quieten with our thoughts, everything is motivated to bring about the achievement of this goal. Single-pointedly focused with everything we do to bring about the achievement of liberation. So that's the purpose of reflecting on sufferings. Then I would encourage you, because this meditation is primarily done about one's own experience, and we then look at the experiences of others too. And this is important because it broadens the depth of the analysis, because we can use more illustrations, and we need to generate compassion for others as well, so that we, whilst we want to give rise to the wish to strive for our liberation from samsara, we need to also have the motivation of doing that for the sake of others, to spiritually develop for the sake of others. So we need to do this meditation in relation to our own experiences and then apply it to others for that reason, so as to use it to generate love and compassion for others. And once we've meditated on suffering, as has been presented tonight and last week and previous weeks, we give rise to a wish for liberation, we then should conclude the meditation with reflection on creating the causes for freedom, causes that lead to liberation. Here, primarily, meditate on ethical conduct, a mind of restraint, a mind that doesn't come under the influence of the afflictions. Because this is the mind of liberation, a mind that is freed of the afflictions. So we cultivate ethical conduct or ethical restraint in our meditation, seeing the grave danger the afflictions present and developing the skills to recognize them and not come under the influence. And thereafter, if we have the time, we should meditate too on generosity and patience to cultivate ever greater causes that will lead to liberation. And if we do have sufficient time, also to meditate on joyous perseverance, concentration, and in particular, wisdom. And this then is the second great part of the meditation. And then lastly, whatever one does thereafter, whether it's to make offerings or on your shrine or to do prostrations, do so with the motivation of striving to achieve liberation from one's own samsara, but for the sake of others, to spiritually develop for the sake of others. So in this way, we can see that all the sufferings that we and other ordinary beings experience, they don't have to be inevitable. Through mental transformation, which will come about through repeated effort over a sustained period, suffering can be brought to an end. Freedom can be attained. So thank you. We'll finish there for tonight.